Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We begin a new Sefer today. We finished Sefer Bereishis and we begin Sefer Shmos. Now there's going to be a lot of reading we're going to have to do today. And we'll do it. I may even ask some questions that I'm not even sure whether I'm going to answer them, but we're certainly going to try, that's for sure. Sedra tells us at its very beginning, Parsha tells us, Ve'ele Shemot B'nei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayma, these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt, that Yaakov Yeshu Beit Ovo, and they're all the names of the tribes are mentioned, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim, it says, and then Vayomat Yosef and all of his B'chol Achav, all of his brothers died, B'chol HaDorah, went all of that generation. U'b'nei Yisrael, Paru, Vayishnitzu, Vayirbu, Vayasmu, Domoz, Mod, Vatimalei Haaretz Otam. So we're talking about a people who at the end of Sefer Bereshit, and really what we're told over here is describing the situation at the end of Sefer Bereshit, that a people is growing, expanding, developing, fantastic growth. Growth, of course, to the point that what finally appears on the face of this earth is the Jewish problem that's going to have to be dealt with. But what may be very fascinating is Vayokam Melech Chodash al Mitzrayim, Asher lo yadat Yosef, a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Yosef. Vayomer el Amo, and he said to his people, he said to his people, behold, the nation, the children of Israel are greater and mightier than us, and we have a problem, we're going to have to deal with it, we're going to have to see how we're going to control and contain the Jewish people, and for that matter, maybe even reach the point where, he doesn't reveal it, of course, at the beginning, but that there's ultimately a plan for the final solution of the Jewish problem. Now, it seems by the juxtaposition, I got it out. And if it's on a triple word score, can you imagine the juxtaposition? You win. All right. Somebody is smiling here because she knows that my prowess in Scrabble goes as far as dog and cat, which I used in the last game I had about 25 years ago. That was before I knew juxtaposition. Yeah. It says, Vayakom Melech Chodash, a new king arose over Israel who did not know Yosef. And Rashi says, two pshatim. One pshat, of course it is a machloket in the Gemara, one pshat is that it was really a new king, and the other, it was the same old king, but mitchadshu gezerotav, his decrees, there were new decrees. New king. And of course what's troubling in the pasuk is, what do you mean, Asher lo yada et Yosef? Even if he's a new king, what do you mean you don't know Yosef? Everybody knows history, certainly. Recent history. What does it mean, Asher lo yada et Yosef? Now, I want to say, parts of this year were inspired, of all things, I happened to hear a tape of Mordechai Alon, and there's an idea that he expresses, and we'll come to it later in the year. It was very good, I liked it. But some of the questions, and there are other things, are added to it, but I want to give credit where credit is due for the kernel of the thought that may ultimately answer a number of our questions. So here, this is a problem. What do you mean, Asher lo yada et Yosef, who didn't know Yosef? How is it possible for a king not to know Yosef? So we're not talking about revisionist history, or maybe we are. There was no Yosef. I don't know. In light of present day history, or the rewriting of history, could be Asher lo yada et Yosef. Yes, means that there was revisionist history, but even so, there has to be a reason why he doesn't want to know Yosef. And maybe that's what we're looking for. What is it that he doesn't like about Yosef? Why doesn't he want to know Yosef? And then how does one lead to the next? Because he doesn't know Yosef. Therefore, Vayomer El Amo, the next thing seems to follow. He says to his people, he may behold, Am B'nei Yisrael, Rav, V'asim Imenu, and we have a problem. Havan Yitzchak Malot, let's deal wisely with them. There are a lot of Jews around, and they can be a problem. They may be a fifth column in this country in the event that there will be an attack from without. These are the quislings, the traitors from within, and we have to know how to deal with them. And then, as the Ramban explains, begins a process whereby ultimately it will lead to the enslavement of the people. But the Karu himself understood that he couldn't just one morning get up and enslave a people. Everything is a process. And his own people get used to it each stage of the game until you finally re-educate an entire people that there is the enemy and we have to deal with that enemy, even to the point where Paro is going to say, Kol HaBen HaYilot HaYolot HaShlihu, any child that is born is going to be, Jewish child is going to be thrown into the Nile. There's something else that bothers me in the Sedra. There is a part of the Sedra that seems to be intent on protecting identities. There's a part of the Sedra that seems to be interested in anonymity, and I wonder why. Now, if I don't answer this question by the end of the year, it means I haven't figured out an answer for it by the end of the year, so don't ask me. But hopefully we will at some point get to an answer. The Sedra says, chapter 2, Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. A man went from the house of Levi and he took the daughter of Levi. We already know that the man is Amram and the woman is Yocheved. But Torah doesn't tell us who they are. Vatar ha'isha, the woman became pregnant, Vatela then she gave birth to a son, Vatera Otokitohu, and she saw that he was good, Vatitzpenehu Shlosha Yerachim, and she hid him for 3 months. Hello Yachal O, that's Pino. She wasn't able to hide him anymore, Vatita Lo Tevo Goma, Vatachmara, Vachemer of Azabet, so she took a basket of reeds and she smeared it with all sorts of things to protect it from inside and outside. Batosum Batayala, she placed the child in the basket, Batosum Batuf, Al Batayor, and she placed it at the reeds at the edge of the river. And we're talking about a painful experience of mothers taking a child and putting it out on the river. And his sister stood from afar, to know what is going to happen to him. Since, of course, the Torah hasn't told us who the husband and wife are, so of course we don't know who the sister is. Once I've told you already that it's Yocheved and Amram, then the sister is obviously Miriam. But her name is not mentioned. But the fact is that Miriam turns out to be the great heroine not only of Parshat Shemot, but she turns out to be the great heroine of Jewish history. Because of her, we have a Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only do we have a Moshe Rabbeinu, not only because she's there standing, and the word Batei Tatsav is extremely important. Batei Tatsav, it could have said Bataamod, and she stood there. Bataamod is the normal way in which you say stand. Batei Tatsav means standing there with intent and with purpose. She's not going to move from the spot. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem l'tnei Hashem alakech. At the end of Torah, standing fast. Was it by Yaakov and his dream? Behinei Hashem nitzav alav. I hope I didn't make that up at the beginning. First it says Vayachalom, he dreams the Nesula Mutzav Va'arza. There is a ladder. Yaakov, in his dream of the ladder, there's a ladder Mutzav Va'arza standing on. It doesn't say that the ladder is omeid. Mutzav means solid, firm. And then the next pasuk says, yes, V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Alav, and God is standing over him. It always leaves the impression of standing firm, strong, with intent, with purpose. And then other places, for example, by Avram, when the three Malachim come to Avram, by Yisrael, if I got the name Shlosha Anoshim Nitzavim Alav, Nitzavim. Then later, when it says that he is feeding them and he's taking care of them, it says, "V'hu omeid aleihem takapeis." He's standing under the tree as they eat. It doesn't represent the idea of firm, strong, rooted. But batei katzav, achotomei achok, she's standing there with purpose. Batei bat paro lirchot al yaor, v'naroteh holchot al yada hayaor. The daughter of Paro went down to wash by the river, and her girls are going with her along the bank of the river. Batei tateva l'toch asuf, and she saw the basket amongst the reeds. Now you can imagine, here is Miriam standing with intent to know exactly what's going to happen. And she has no idea what, she doesn't have a clue what's going to happen. And for all she knows, some poor fisherman may row by or sail by. The last thing to have occurred to her is that the daughter of Pharaoh is going to come down here. And of course, the fact that the daughter of Pharaoh is the one who comes is an indication that God is standing here too. You understand? The great nemesis of Pharaoh is going to be brought into his home and raised. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, "A tzara hi li Yaakov." It is a time of trouble to Yaakov. Umimena yivashea, and from the trouble itself, he will be saved. From the tzara comes the ultimate salvation. Can you imagine? Kol haben ayilod ayora tashmichu. Any tzara that is born is going to be thrown into the Nile. Who's the one that decrees this awful, horrible, inhumane, brutal, cruel decree? This is Pharaoh, and his daughter is going to bring this nemesis of Pharaoh into the house, and he's going to be raised in that house. That's something that she could never have imagined. But she stands there to watch. And she saw now the daughter of Pharaoh sees the teva in the reeds, batishlach adamata batigacha. She took it, she opened, she saw the child, she took him in, she called him Moshe. In Pasuk 9 it says, Vatomar Achoto, the sister was there on the spot. Very quickly the sister was there, ready in order to come to his aid. Why the anonymity? Why shouldn't Miriam be mentioned by name so that we should know who is Klal Yisrael indebted to, Klal Yisrael for all time? We're studying Torah Moshe because there was a Moshe. Not only was she important in saving Moshe, she was important in bringing Moshe into the world. The famous statement, the Gemara says, what it was that Miriam told her father. Why does it say, Vayela Vishmi made Levi a man, went from the house of Levi and he took the daughter of Levi? Because after the decree, Kol HaBen HaYilo, that every son who was born shall be thrown into the Nile, so Amram said to his wife, so what are we going to do? We're going to have children so that should be thrown into the Nile? So he, Omar Begide, Shazisho, he got up and he divorced his wife. We're not going to have any children anymore. To which his, and Chazal say, Omdus, all of his people went ahead and they divorced their wives as well. So his daughter came to him and she said to him, Gzeidatcha, your Gzeida, your decree, father, is worse than the decree of Pharaoh. Shalom Pharaoh, lo gazer el al azechon, and Pharaoh only decreed that male children shall be killed. But your decree is that neither male nor female children are going to be born. And she says, she feels beruach hakodesh, benevuah, that Moshiach she saw, the Savior of Israel, is going to be born.
How old
Miriam was?
At that time.
I don't know. She was. We don't know how. We know that Aaron was 3 years older than Moshe. We don't know how much older Miriam was. I don't know how much older. Anyway, so then it says the Gemara goes on to say that when he was finally born and he had to be put into the river. So her father came to her, Tafcha al Rosha, he sort of clapped her on the head and he said, Biti, Heichan Nebuatech, my daughter, where is your great prophecy? So she waited out there, Batech Tafsav Achotomer Achot, she stood, Ledea, Maya Othello, to know what's going to be done with him. All right, so really, what we're talking about is the following. What is the relationship between the fact that Vayok HaMelech Chodosh, a new king arose, Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef, who didn't know Yosef? What do you mean he didn't know Yosef? Regardless of which pshat you're going to accept in Rashi. Rashi obviously accepts that any one of the two of them could be correct. Either it was indeed a new king, or it was a king who made new decrees. What do you mean a new king doesn't know who Yosef is? Obviously, not knowing Yosef has a different meaning. Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef means that he, a new king arises who doesn't want to know what Yosef is and what Yosef stands for and what it is that Yosef wanted to teach the people of Egypt. There's something about Yosef that this new king or old king turned new wants to reject. There's something about Yosef from which he wants to alienate himself, remove himself. And once he removes himself from whatever it was that Yosef worked a lifetime to achieve, that permitted him to take the next step, which is the step of enslaving an entire people, ultimately reaching the point of a final solution. There's another bit of anonymity in the Torah, and anonymous even when names are used. Before Paro comes out with a terrible decree, it says in Tophet Tedvah, Vayom Melech Mitzrayim La Miyaldot HaIvriyot, the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, by the way, there are two pshatim, the Hebrew midwives, or the midwives of the Hebrews. There is a pshat in Chazal that says that those midwives were Egyptian women. We'll talk about that later. But normally we explain it as Miyaldot Ivriyot, Hebrew women who served as midwives. Asher Shem Ha'achat Shifra, V'Shem Hashem Yipur. One's name was Shifra, the other's name was Pur. By the way, Chazal tell us, these were not their names, unless if they were Egyptians, so Egyptians had names. Shifra and Pur could very well have been Egyptian names. Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in one, in Titein Emes, Yaakov, he says that anything with a pei or a resh in it was an Egyptian name. Paro. When Yosef gives his second child a name, saying that God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction or the land of my estrangement, he called him Ephraim. Ephraim was a good Egyptian name. It had a pei and a resh. So Shifra and Pua, if they are Egyptian women, we understand it's a real good Egyptian name. If they are Yocheved and Miriam, Potiphar, right? Potiphar, that's another one. Sofnas Ta'aneach. I don't know what Asia's Potiphar's name was, but her name was also, I imagine, a Mrs. Potiphar. So now, if Shifra and Pua are Yocheved and Miriam, then it really means that we're not being told who they are. They're working under disguised names. It's not their real Tudat Zehut. So Miriam really doesn't appear anywhere in the Sefer. She and her mother are heroines of the highest order. Vayomer, Paro tells these midwives, Bialetchen et ha'ivriyot, when you give assist the Hebrew women in giving birth to the Yitan al Avnoim in the delivery room, you'll see in Benhu, if it's a son, the Hamitan Otor, you should put him to death. In Bati, if it's a girl, the Choyot, she can live. But in Enraham Yaldot et ha'olachim, terribly important, these two words. And its significance will become clearer later. The Miyaldot fears God. They didn't do what the king of Egypt said to them, but the chayena et hayeladim, and they kept the children alive. The king of Egypt called the midwives on Yomelen, and he said to them, why did you do this? But the chayena et hayeladim, you let the children live, or you kept them alive. According to Rashi, one pshat is not only did they let the children live, They gave them all that they needed in order to continue to live. They give him an excuse. You know, the Hebrew women, they give birth so quickly, even before the miyaledet, even before the midwife comes, they've already given birth.
Next passage says, "Vayita velekim lamiyaldos." God was good to the miyaldos. Vayod, vayid at home.
Vayatzmulo. The people continued to multiply. They became very mighty.
Vayihiki yodu hamiyaldos etolakim.
Because they feared God. Now, do you understand what position the miyaldos were in? The miyaldos were in a classic 20th century position. Would they have done Paro's bidding, they could always have said, well, we were following orders. We certainly didn't want to do it, but we're following orders. And the orders were given to us directly by the king of Egypt himself. What me worry? They feared God. And because they feared God, they knew that there are times at which a person has to disobey. You can't do it. Sirub pikuda, refusing to follow orders.
And it's because they feared God. Bayat lehem batim, so God made for them houses.
What kind of houses?
So Rashi explains. The houses that
they made was, they were zeicher from these two, from Shifra and Pua, who were Yocheved and Miriam, came Kohuna, Leviah, and Malchus. Moshe, Aaron, Kohuna and Leviah, and then Malchus came from Miriam and Elisheva, Yehuda, Nachshon. She was married to Kalev. Everything came because of this. Okay. So now, alright. It means, therefore, that what we have to understand is, it seems everything flows from the fact that Vayakam Melech Chodosh, a new king arose who did not know Yosef. And as we explained, it cannot mean simply Yosef who? Yosef? Never heard of Yosef. It can't mean that. Ashalo Yoda is Yosef means he didn't want to know Yosef. And because he didn't want to know Yosef, therefore he is able to begin a process that's ultimately going to end with throwing Jewish children into the Nile. What was it about Yosef? What was Yosef's great contribution that they wanted to silence? They wanted to remove any memory of Yosef from the Egyptian experience. In order to understand Yosef, we have to take a look at two other characters. Here comes the Rabbi Alon makes this very fascinating approach with few psukim that he reads in a very beautiful way. And from that we will be able to go further. This is the two, there are two who find themselves in similar positions. Reuven and Miriam. Reuven and Miriam. Reuven also feels a sense of responsibility for Yosef. In other words, each one is the oldest in the family. Reuven is the oldest in his family. Miriam is the oldest in her family. She feels a sense of responsibility for Moshe. He feels a sense of responsibility for Yosef. Yet of all the fascinating things, if we take a look at Reuven, we find that wherever Reuven enters upon the scene, he fails. Reuven is a failure. Miriam, on the other hand, is an absolute roaring success. She makes sure that her father remarries her mother, the child is born, she stands there, she brings the mother to Bat Paro in order to take care of the child. She is the one who makes certain that Moshe is born, lives, survives, and becomes the savior of the Jewish people. Yet Reuven, it seems something is wrong with Reuven. Let's do some reading on the first side of the sheet that you have. On the right-hand side of the page, we're going to have to read some of the other psukim earlier. But first, I just want to take a look at Reuven now. It says that Yosef goes to Shechem to find his brothers. He doesn't find them there. He's lost in the field. A man asks him, "What are you looking for?" And he says, "As Achai Anochi Mevakesh, I'm looking for my brothers." Man says, "I heard that they have gone to Dothan." He comes to Dothan and he comes toward his brothers.
So it says on the right hand side of the sheet, Pasuk Yud Chet. You see the numbers in the circle there? Pasuk Yud Chet. Vayiru Otome Rachok, they saw him from afar. And before he drew close to them, and they already planned to kill him. They said to one another, there comes the dreamer. Let's kill him, and we will throw him into one of the pits, and we will say, a wild beast has eaten him. And then we will see, what will be with his dreams. They have it all figured out. They're going to kill him, throw him to the pit, say a wild animal killed him. Yishma Ruvain, Sayatzileu Miyadam. Ruvain heard, and he saved him from their hands. Vayomer, he said, Lona Kenu Nafesh. Let's not kill him. It means these people not only were planning it, they were ready to do it. They were ready for the Bitsurah, carrying out the plan of killing him. Ruvain said, "Al tish b'chudam, don't spill blood. Actually, who else will abhor azeh? Throw him into this pit, Hashem Amibah, which is in the desert. V'yad al tish b'chudam, don't stretch your hand out against him." And the pasuk testifies about him. The pasuk tells us, "Leman hatzila tomi adam." He did this all in order to save him from their hands, like Shiva alaviv, to bring him back to his father. Yosef came to his brothers by Yashiku with Yosef and Kutoto. They took off his jacket and Tonat Hapasun, the coat, the cloak of many colors that is on him by Yakahu. They took him by Yashiku or Torah Abar. They threw him into the bar, Vahapor Lake. The bar is empty. Engel Mayim, by Yeshulach Alechem. They sat down to eat bread by Yisrael Name. And then they see one group of, one caravan of Socharim, businessmen, traders who are coming to them. And then finally in Pasuk 26, not finally, you see the Mopsuk 3. But Yom Yehuda Alechav Yehuda said to his brothers, "Not better ki na aroge tachinu. What benefit will it be if we kill our brother but he's seen with Domo and cover his blood? Let's sell him to the Yishma'elim and our hand should not go out against him. Ki achinu b'sareinu, he is our brother, he is our flesh. By Yishma'el Echav and his brothers listen to him." So then another, while they're in the process of negotiating, while Yehuda is negotiating, and by the way, what Yehuda suggests is terrible in comparison to what Ruvain has suggested. What did Ruvain want? Don't kill him, put him in the bar. What's his intent? That he's going to come back and he will take him out of the bar in order to bring him back to his father. Yehuda makes a terrible proposal here, and despite that, Yehuda is going to emerge afterwards as Melech Yisrael, the king of Israel. This is terrible. He says, "Yeah, let's sell him into slavery." He's ready to sell him into slavery. Well, why does Ruvain lose out? And Yehuda is the one who emerges as the great one. Same thing is going to happen later. You go to the left hand side of the page. No, not the left hand side of the page. The other side of the page. Turn up. The brothers want to go back to Mitzrayim for the second time, but Yosef has told them, Sabna Panach has told them that you can't come back unless the little boy, your little brother, is with you. Yaakov tells his children, "Listen, we need more food." So they tell him, "Listen, we can't go back because that man has told us he doesn't want us there. Unless we bring Binyamin." On the other side of the page, you will see Pasuk Lamed Ches 38, and then the 37. By Yom and Ruvain, a lot of his lame. Ruvain said to his father, saying, "At Shnei Banai Tamid, put my two children to death, and lo, Avi Anuei Lecha, if I don't bring him to you. To know, Tar Yavi, give him into my hand, Bani Avshi Benuei Lecha. I'm going to bring him back to you." You know what's fascinating? Yaakov doesn't even respond to Ruvain. If anything, here's one of the great condemnations. Rashi brings it, Chazal says, "Bechor Shotehu Zeh. This is the firstborn of a shaitan. He's a fool. What do you mean you're going to kill your two children? Your two children are not my enemy. What does he mean? How did he say it? And then it turns out that they don't go down. The famine gets worse. Yaakov again comes to his children and says, you better go down. And this time, it's Yehuda who speaks in Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Elav Yehuda, Yehuda said, and Yehuda is going to speak in a very unsonly way to a father. There must be a better word than that. Not terribly respectful, yes. Okay, let's say that. A bit unrespectful. Yaakov says, go down. Their father said, go back and bring up food. Vayomer Elav Yehuda Leimah. Yehuda said the following, the man has warned us, Lo tiru panai bilti achichem etchem. You will not see my face unless your brother is with you. In yeshcho mishaleach et achinu itanu, if you will send our brother with us, nerdo v'nishbara l'cho, okay, we will go down and buy food for you. It's interesting that Yehuda says, listen, Pa, this is food for you. You want food? He doesn't say no food for all of us. Food for you. You want food? The facts. Let's just deal with the facts. You know, don't get emotional over here. Don't tell me any stories. The fact is we need food. No binyamin, no food. Finish. Very straight. If you don't send, we're not going down. This is slightly unrespectful. Disrespectful. Because the man said to us, Lo tiru panai bilti achichem etchem. You cannot see me, I'm killed, unless your brother is with me. The end is, Yaakov speaks to him, and then Yehuda is going to say, make no promises, make no guarantees. All he says, I accept responsibility for him, and if I don't bring him back, I will have sinned to you for all time. That's it. And Yaakov agrees to send him back. If you look up at the top of the page, there's a little medrash over there on that pasuk by Yishma Ruben heard by Yatzileu Miyodam and he saved them from his hands. First line says, Limadet Chav Torah Derech Eretz, the Torah teaches you Derech Eretz, Shekishahadam Osen Mitzvi Hei Osa Ota Belev Samech. When a person does a mitzvah, you have to do it with a happy heart. A happy heart by Chazal means you start a mitzvah, you see it through to the very end. Reuven convinced the brothers to put him into the pit, and what was the purpose? So that he should bring him back to his father, but he never brought him back home. He started the mitzvah, but he didn't finish. She'ilu hoya yodeya Reuven, would Reuven have known? Sha'akodesh Baruch Hu kotei v'chadav, would Reuven have known that God is going to write about him? Vayishma Reuven vayatzilehu miyodam. If he would have known that God was going to write about him, Reuven heard, and he saved them. The truth is he didn't save him from the end. All that the Torah can write is what his intention was. Torah cannot write that he indeed saved, because he didn't save him. He didn't save him. He left the pit. He didn't stay at the pit. Would he have known that Torah was going to write about him by Yishma Ruvein by Yatzileu Miyodam? On his shoulders, he would have put him on his shoulders and he would have brought him to his father. Ilu haya Aaron yodeya, that's in this week's Sedra, when Aaron has known Shakodesh Baruch Hu kotev alav v'gam hineinu yotzei l'kvatcha, if Aaron would have known that God is going to write in Torah that at the sneh, the burning bush, God tells Moshe, you should know your brother is coming out toward you, he would have gone out with a band, with song and dance in order to receive Moshe as he arrived at the tree. But Reuven didn't finish the act. In that sense, is there a difference now between Reuven and Miriam? By Miriam it says, "Vatetzav achoto meidachot l'de'ah ma ye'aseh lo." She's standing firm on the spot. She will not move from the spot until she knows what's going to be with that child. Reuven should have stood there. He should have stood there, not have, no excuse in the world should have taken him away from that pit. Chazal say he went to serve his father that day. The father would have been Michael Reuven serving him that day, and would rather that Reuven would have stayed glued to the spot exactly the way Miriam did. The question is, so what's the difference between Reuven and Miriam? Reuven, anything he touches, he fails. He doesn't save Yosef, even though Torah writes that about him. When he speaks to his father tells you, you're a b'chor shota. And then on the first side of the page, we have the famous psukim, where the brothers, 22 years after they sell Yosef, are standing in front of Tzofnat Paneach, and he accuses them of being spies. So they say, Aval Hashem anachnu, we're guilty about our brother. We didn't listen to his cries. And there Reuven responds, and Reuven says, and Reuven says, Halo amarti lachem. Bayat on the first side, left pasuk on the left hand side. Bayan Reuven otam leimor halo amarti alechem leimor. I told you al techetu bayelad, don't sin about this child. Velo shematem, and you didn't hear. Vegam damohi neidet rush. I told you not to sin, and now I told you so. By the way, nobody responds to Reuven here also. What's the difference between Reuven and Miriam? The difference between Reuven and Miriam can be understood if we see who Yosef is. To see who Yosef is, and there are two major motifs that are the heart of Yosef's message. And this is something Mitzrayim simply cannot live with. Mitzrayim is going to become a rejection of everything that Yosef stood for. What does Yosef stand for? First sheet, first side, right hand side again. Shani, second line, end of the second line. I'm just going to read and point out something very fascinating. Vayomer Yisrael and Yosef, Yisrael said to Yosef, Halo achecha ro'im b'shem, your brothers are grazing the sheep in Shem. L'chove eshlochacha aleim. Go, I will send you to them. By Yamalo, and he said, Hineni, here I am. I'll let you in on the secret now. Let's watch the use or the lack of use of the word brother. Yisrael says to Yosef, your brothers are in Shem. Vayomer Elohim, he said to him, Lech nor ra'eh et shlom achecha, see how your brothers are doing, that shlom hatzon, and how the sheep are doing, v'hashivei yidavah, and bring back word, v'yishlochei, when he sent him, v'yein et chevron, from the valley of Chevron, v'yavol Shem, or he came to Shem. V'yein so'eh uish, and a man found him, v'hinei toreb asadeh, he was wandering through the field, v'yishalei v'yishleimor, and the man asked him, saying, Mata Bakesh, what are you looking for? Vayomer, Yosef said, Et Achai Anochi Mevakesh. I look for my brothers. I'm seeking out my brothers. Hagidoli Noli, please tell me, Eifohim Rohim, where are they grazing? Vayomer Reish, the man said, Nosumi said, they journey from Yeki Shemati Omrim, because I heard them saying, Deo Kototama, let's go to Dotan. Vayelas Yosef, Achar Echov. Yosef went after his brothers by Yitzhak, and he found them the Dotan. Now watch. Vayiru oto meirachot, they saw him from afar. Ubeterem yikrav aleihem, and before he drew close to them, vayitnaklu oto lahamito, and they plotted about him to kill him. Not a word describing him as a brother. Vayomru ish alachit, one said to the other, Hinei, Bal hachalomot halazeh ba, this Bal hachalomot, the dreamer is coming here. Va'ata now, l'chu, let's go v'nahargei hu, and we will kill him. V'nashlichei hu, and we will throw him. Va'achad ha'borot, in one of the pits. V'amanu, we will say, chayaro acholotu, a wild animal ate him up. V'nir'eh, we will see, ma'yihiyu, what will be with chalomotav, his dreams. They've done a lot of talking here about Yosef, having referred to him once as a brother. Yosef is sent by his father, Lid Otet Shlom Achiv, to see how his brothers are doing. He tells an unknown man in the field, who asks him, what are you looking for? He says, you know what I'm looking for? It's a chayo, no, in the case. I am looking for my brothers. The brothers so far have not given a hint of the fact that they feel any brotherly relationship to him. Vayishma Ruvain, and Ruvain heard by Yatsilehu Miyodam, and he saved him from their hands by Yom, and he said, Lo na kenu nafesh nachamu. We're not going to kill him. By Yom Raleim, Ruvain said to them, Al tishpichu dam, don't spill blood. Oh, don't spill blood. When God speaks to Cain, he says, Kol d'nei achicha tzohakinei lai min ha'adamah. The blood of your brother is crying to me from the earth. As far as Ruvain is concerned, certainly from what he says over here, I mean, just, you know, he may seem to feel that this is an unnecessary step. Don't spill blood. Hashmichu oto, throw him el habor hazeh asher b'midbar. In this pit that's in miyad al tish nechubo, don't send a hand against him. L'man hatzil oto, miyadan l'hashivo el habir, in order to save him from their hands, to bring him back to their father. It's amazing how you can go so many psukim without once giving the hint that you're talking about a brother. This is a brother. The only one who speaks brotherhood is Yosef.
Yehuda calls him a brother. But
Yosef is seeking his brothers. The brothers and Reuven haven't said a word. Vayihi. Next passage, Vayihi kasher bo Yosef el Echav. As far as Yosef is concerned, do you know who he has come to? He has come to his brothers. Vayashitu et Yosef et kutanto et ketonet afasun asher olav. They took off his coat of many clothes, by Yikahuhu, and they took him, by Ashlichu Oto, Habora, the Habora came to mind. You don't have to say anymore. The first one who is going to utter the word brother out of his mouth is going to be Yehuda. Pasuk 26, Vayomer Yehuda El Echav, Ma Betza Kina Harog Et Avinu, Vechisinu Et Domo. Lechuvin in Kedano la Yishmaelim, Vyadeno al Gibo ki Ochinu Bisoreinu Hu, by Yishmaelcha. Of all the brothers, the only one who utters out of his mouth the word brother. So he is making a very, very ugly proposal. Sell him into slavery. Because Yehuda believes, may be mistaken, but Yehuda believes that Yosef is a threat to them. And that's not the subject of the Shiva. I'm going to talk about that now. He sees Yosef as a threat. And I don't believe he sees Yosef as a personal threat to him. But he has this feeling. Yosef has all sorts of visions and illusions of grandeur. But he does recognize this is a brother. And he's the only one of all of them who recognizes Yosef as a brother. The only other one who does is Yosef sees. You know, we saw that Nasho Vitchananoi Elena, we saw his terrible pain when he begged below Shamanu, he didn't listen. Out came Bar Elena Atzarazos. What about Yosef when he saw them standing before him? It says, Vayaker Yosef et Echav, Vehein lo hikiruhu. Yosef recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And then when Reuven finally speaks up, Vayan Reuven Otam Lemar, Hello, Amati Aleichem, I told you, Al techetu b'yelet. He still can't call him a brother. He's a yelet, he's a this, he's a nar, whatever, but he still doesn't call him a brother. V'lo shematam, he didn't listen. V'gam d'lo hinei nitras. His blood is now being demanded of. Just as he had said 22 years earlier, Al techetu dam, don't spill blood. I mean, don't spill blood. Not stop spilling blood. This is blood of your brother. Reuven, unfortunately, doesn't seem to get it even now.
The brothers have already said, Avala Shema Manachnu Alachino, our brother. We saw his pain, and we didn't do anything about it. Yosef is the one who, to his credit, and if you go through all of the Pesukim of Yosef, you're going to see the theme of brother and brotherhood over and over again. In all of those parashot from Vayeshev until the end of Sefer Bereishis, he always sees them as brothers. But then it takes a long time until they finally see him as a brother. That takes 22 years. And even after those 22 years, Reuven still doesn't see him. He's a yelet, he's a this. And I have a feeling that that's exactly what happens later on when Yaakov wants to send them back to Mitzrayim. There's a sense of I mean, somebody can say it, Shnei Banai Tamid, you can put my two sons to death. I mean, so what is he saying? What's lacking is a sense of responsibility for a brother. When is it that Yosef finally reveals himself to his brothers? When he sees that Yehuda, you know how Yehuda conducts himself at the beginning of Parshat Vayigash? Like Miriam is going to conduct herself. I'm not moving from the spot. I'm not going to leave that boy here. Take me. I'll stay in his place. He's not moving from the spot. That's brotherhood. I have a feeling that you know what the Torah wanted to tell us in the Sedra, in Parshat Shemot? What the Torah wanted to tell us in the Sedra by not mentioning her name, because it says, Vatetatzav Achoto, his sister stood there. And his sister called her mother to come and take care of him. Do you know what Miriam is demonstrating? The relationship of brotherhood. She's a sister, and that places upon her tremendous responsibility. And she's not going to move from the spot. Would Reuven have felt some sense of brotherhood with Yosef? He wouldn't have left that pit. He would have taken Yosef on his shoulders and brought him back to his father. But he just didn't get it. Miriam, on the other hand, is the one who... she's a sister. By the way, right after that, in the Sedra, the boy grows up. He grows up in the house of Pharaoh. Moshe grew up by Yetzay. Do you know where he went out? He went out to his brothers. Moshe has it. Moshe knows the meaning of brotherhood. He knows that regardless of what may separate brothers, that which unites them is should be stronger than anything that separates them. He went out to his brothers. And then the prophet says it again, Vayad Sivlotam, he saw their suffering, Vayad Ish Mitzri, Nake Ish Ivri, Mei Echav, from his brothers. Isn't that second Mei Echav unnecessary? What would have been wrong if the prophet would have said, Vayad Ish Mitzri, he saw an Ish Mitzri hitting an Ish Ivri? But now the prophet wants to stress that this Moshe, who grew up in the house of Paro, and most probably, because he has a sister who's a sister, he's a brother who's a brother. Later on, when Moshe is going to refuse for the fifth time, he's going to tell God, "No, I don't want to go." And after all of the excuses have run out, he says, "Shlach na biyat tishlach. God, send anybody you want to send. Leave me out of it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to go." So it says, "Vayichar af Hashem." God gets angry. God gets angry with Moshe, and he says to him the following.
Oh,
God got angry with Moshe. This is chapter 4, passage 14. Vayomer, he said, "Hello, Aaron, Achicha HaLevi, Yodati Ki Daber Yedaberhu." I know that your brother, the Levi, he will speak for you. Because we don't know that Aaron HaLevi is his brother, of course. He only has one brother. And his one brother, his name is Aaron, and he's a Levi. What God wants to stress is, listen, Moshe, not only are you a brother to them, you have a brother as well as works in both ways. So number one, Yosef has established that there is the sense of brotherhood. That's one. There's something else that Yosef has established, and the two are interrelated, inextricably intertwined. When the wife of Potiphar, and we talked about it, when the wife of Potiphar attempts to seduce Yosef says something that, as we pointed out at the time, she's simply incapable of understanding what he's talking about. Incapable of understanding what he's talking about. And he says to her the following. Vayomai, he refused. Vayomer el Eishes Adonav, he said to his master's wife, Hein Adoni lo yoda iti mabapayet, my master doesn't know what's going on in the house except for me, b'chol asher yesh lo natan biyadi, everything that he has he's given to me. I'm in charge of everything. He's placed tremendous trust in me. He feels that I'm responsible. How can I do this terrible evil? The chatasi, and I will have sinned le'elokim, to God. This fellow Yosef keeps mentioning God. I think we pointed out even more than Menachem Begin used. You know, Be'ezus Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem, the Gebeishim Tol Hefen, Ha'iluga Bashata. He mentions Elohim wherever he goes. He has even said that, he says it later on when he stands before Paro. We pointed out that all of Mitzrayim standing there, and Paro tells this 30-year-old that they just raised him out of the pit, washed him, cleaned him, gave him a haircut, brought him before the king, and I heard that you know how to interpret dreams. He says, no, Paro, you're wrong. Doesn't say it in that many words, but here he says, no, Bilatay, it's not for me. Elohim, Ya'aneh Shlom Paro. Elohim is going to answer Paro. And he keeps Elohiming all along. I mean, it gets so repetitious. What Yosef is doing, whether beknownst to him or unbeknownst to him, he's educating Mitzrayim. He's doing what Avraham wanted to do. No.